Good morning. This is Pastor Zachary Corey of Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Wahoo, Nebraska. And I welcome you this morning on this fifth Sunday in Lent, known as Judica Sunday or Passion Sunday or even Black Sunday, where Passion Tide begins. We begin even more so to look intensely and intently toward Good Friday. And so I welcome you this morning as you join us, whether you are a member of our congregation or you are a guest listening in. I pray that this brief service is a blessing to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I prepare a sacrifice for you and watch. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise.
Thank you.
Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 22. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and he said, "Here am I." He said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them, together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from Hebrews chapter 9. When Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter. At that time, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, If anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, He is our God, but you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, apparently, there's more death than usual in the world right now. Yesterday, one headline read, Italy's coronavirus death toll passes 10,000. Another headline declared, Coronavirus deaths in Louisiana skyrocket by 40% in one day. It was confirmed for us in Wahoo, Nebraska this last week that now we may not gather in the city of Wahoo in groups of more than 10 all the way through May 6th. And of course, this is a precaution in order to prevent deaths from the coronavirus from becoming even more real for us here, not only in Wahoo, but in Saunders County and in surrounding counties. And yet, we cannot prevent death. It will come, even if the coronavirus isn't what takes us. Death is not only on our minds, but in our Old Testament reading for today, it was also on the mind of Abraham. Now, we don't see it because we're not told, but Abraham must have been terrified. He was 100 years old when his 90-year-old barren wife bore him a son. And it was nothing short of a miracle. God's promise to Abraham was that he not only would have a son who would be an heir, but that through this promised son would come a number of descendants like the number of stars in the sky. And from them would come kings of nations. And so when God commanded Abraham one day to murder this promised beloved son, Abraham must have been terrified. He must have felt the deepest dread imaginable. But God was trustworthy. He had made great promises to Abraham and kept every one of them up to that point. Why should Abraham stop trusting him now? So he goes through with it. He lays the wood upon his son. He takes him up the mountain, builds the altar, and puts his son upon it to be the burnt offering that God required of him. But when Abraham is about to fulfill God's command completely, a work that Abraham's willing to do not to appease God, not to win God's favor, but a work that he's willing to do out of faith in God's promises because he has found favor with God, who's given it freely to him, at the last moment, when Abraham's knife-holding hand is about to drop, God stopped him. And God provided for himself a burnt offering in the ram caught in the thicket. 2,000 years later, Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, stood in the temple with the religious leaders, who also were descendants of Abraham. Jesus said to them, Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. The Jews said to him, Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died, and the prophets who died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Now, they're not simply asking Jesus who he is, but they're assuming that what he says is false. They are not keeping his word. They are not preserving his word. They are not guarding it, but they are violating it because they believe that he is violating God's word. But Jesus doesn't retaliate. He takes the insult and he responds accordingly. If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. Now Abraham indeed saw the day of Christ. He believed that his son Isaac would be resurrected if God didn't provide for himself a burnt offering in his stead. Abraham knew that one day the promised one, not Isaac the promised one, but the promised one, all the way back from Genesis chapter 3, would come and destroy death itself. And so with the eyes of faith, even though he likely experienced feelings of terror, Abraham indeed saw the day of Christ and was glad. So the Jews said to Jesus, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus calls us to keep, to guard, to preserve his word, because it is there that Christ is found. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of Christ. Life is found in Christ's word because Christ is life, because Christ is found in that word, and he is the one who makes alive. He is the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, which is to say that he is not God of the dead, but of the living. And the Jews who were the audience of Jesus that day in the temple knew exactly what he was conveying when he said, "I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And so they picked up stones in order to kill him. They understood what Jesus was saying, that Jesus, who lived 2,000 years after Abraham, was the one who gave Abraham the command not only to take up his son as a burnt offering, but even who gave him the command to stop because the Lord would provide for himself a burnt offering. If we disbelieve God's word at all, even only a small part of it, we oppose Christ, just like the Pharisees, and we do not keep his word. In that case, we will see death. To mistrust God's word is to mistrust God. And in that case, we must repent. We need to ask God to forgive us for using our reason over against his word and over against his spirit who enabled us to trust his word. We're called to deny ourselves, not only with regard to our neighbor, but even more so with regard for God's word. And so we daily ask God to grant us a faith that rules over reason instead of the other way around. This is what we pray in the first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now perhaps we don't disbelieve God's word, but perhaps we neglect it. And then we oppose Christ by tempting him. We tempt God whenever we put ourselves in harm's way without his word, which he's given to keep, guard, and preserve us. And his word tells us that every day we are in harm's way. The devil seeks our life every single day. We're not without temptation to take our eye off the word and let it be violated in our hearts and our minds. That is exactly what we are tempted to do. So again, we must repent. And with this regard, we repent not only by asking God to forgive us, acknowledging that we have neglected his word, but we repent also by putting his word back into our hearts and our minds, not just on Sunday mornings, but each and every day. This coronavirus situation has within it a blessing in disguise, for it reminds us in a very realistic way that our death is coming. that our mortality is real. But Jesus, the eternal one, the one who exists, the beloved Son who became the once-for-all sacrifice that God provided for himself on the Mount of Golgotha to be the burnt offering who would receive the wrath of God poured upon him, that one desires to comfort us in the midst of our own terrors when he tells us, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us now pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For all the baptized, that we would be led by the light and truth of God's word to see with Father Abraham the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, when he went uncomplaining forth to the cross to suffer and die in our place and make atonement for all our sins. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the men who have been called and ordained to serve Christ's church in his stead and by his command, that they would be protected from sickness, blessed with faithfulness, and fortified with courage as they carry out all their duties in the midst of this pandemic. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our partner churches around the world with whom we share altar and pulpit fellowship, that they would be kept steadfast in the saving doctrine of the blessed apostles drawn from the word of God, and that they would be blessed with wisdom and safety in their endeavors to share that saving doctrine with their communities. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the gift of family, let us give thanks to the Lord, that the Lord would bless all families, protect them from harm and evil, draw them together into his word and prayer, give them hearts of love for one another, and provide for all their needs. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all those who have been placed in authority over us, that they would be protected and granted God's wisdom to serve with integrity and honor as they promote the common welfare of all. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For our fellow Christians and our whole world in isolation and in illness, together with all those who suffer in body and soul in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including Lewis's son, ATN, Elaine's niece, Roxy, and brother-in-law, Jean, a close family member of Chris and Angela, Gary and Pam's friend, Marvin, Julie's mom, Ginger, Karine's mother, Ruby, Larry Martin, Russell's sister, Nancy, and brother-in-law, Richard, Sandra's family members, Sophie and Glenn, Dan's mom, Diane, Lauren and Shirley's son, Todd, and of our own, we lift up in prayer Gloria, Valerie, Sarah, Judy, Lee and Sandra, John and Addie, Lauren, Elaine, Gail, Bernice, Marge, Velva, Lavona, Catherine, and indeed all of our families, that they would be blessed with patience and strength, and that they would receive healing and restoration in accordance with the Lord's will. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all the saints who have gone before us and now reside in heavenly bliss, let us give thanks to the Lord, that we would be kept in the faith, and with them receive the crown of glory as we enter into the life of the world to come, when Christ returns on the last day. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. God's blessings on your week.